Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Paint Me Show. I am the Reverend Edward Paint Me. First of all, I want to thank all my listeners. You have really, really pushed me, and I appreciate that. You have my goal is to have 1 million. That's right, 1 million listeners by Christmas Day. And we're well ahead of the pace. And I want to thank you. But remember, you still must tell your friends. We're having a great time here in the city of Benton Harbor. We're showing the world what we can do here. A small group of people with no resources. Right now, we got a recall out for 3 corrupt school board members. Lou Buchanan, Willie Lark, and Martha Mommy. We're also going to recall the mayor here. We're well ahead of the pace. We have 6,500 signatures for the teachers, board members. And we're also ahead of the pace for the mayor. We are going to show them what we're capable of doing. These are Whirlpool supporters. Whirlpool do not support anything that the residents of Benton Harbor do. But we need your help. Those of you are out there who can send a few dollars to help us in this fight, please do so. You can send it to Banco, B-A-N-C-O. 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Let me repeat that. That's Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. It's crucial that we fight and continue to fight. And also I have good news for my TIs. My first book has been completed, and I got a special chapter, not a whole chapter, but a special chapter about the TIs in the 10th chapter of the book. This is going to be tremendous. We must spread the word, not just about TIs, but about everything that's going on in our world today. So we must continue to fight this battle. We must not, I repeat, sit at home and let someone else fight for us. We need to get out there and fight. Also, to my new group of TIs, this week we're going to be discussing The Soul Catcher by Robert Duncan on Thursday night. So those of you who are out there, stay focused. Don't get sidetracked. The fight is on. We will continue to fight this battle and continue to win this battle, because I feel like we're winning the battle. I feel like we are doing some incredible work, just staying focused, staying on the subject, and not allowing people to take over our community. And remember, the magic word is boycott, boycott, boycott. Whatever you do, that's a key word. But we must do it together. Now let's listen to a little Martin Luther King, and we'll see where we at. Those of you out there, just stay tuned. We have an excellent, excellent show today.
Because
me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land.
Luther King is saying, let's get out there and do something. Listen, it's time for me to bring on my first guest. We're going to talk a little bit about that Common Core, that program that they're trying to institute into our school system. Let me bring on my first guest, Chris. Christopher, are you there?
I am here, Reverend. How are you?
Great. How about yourself?
I am fantastic. I am calling from sunny South Bay, California, just south of Los Angeles. It was 85 degrees and sunny the other day, so I'm doing pretty good.
Wow. You know, we just had a storm here that turned out our lights around here right before the show went on. And, you know, I was going to mention sunny California, Christopher, but fortunately you missed it for me, so that's a good thing. Absolutely. Well, Christopher, listen, I know they're trying to institute this Common Core all across the country. The education system is already bad. It's shameful. It's disgraceful. Now they got the kids studying for this ME test, which is the lowest testing system that they have. And now they want to bring in the Common Core. Talk to me. Tell us what Common Core is.
Happily. So, Reverend, Common Core, the full name for that is the Common Core State Standards Initiative. And if anyone wants kind of the official line or the official description of it, you're welcome to Google that. A lot of boring stuff. But first, you got to say, why is it important? Why should I care about Common Core? You mentioned, people needing to get out there and fight against these people who are trying to take over our communities. And that is definitely, definitely true in education. You've got a lot of powerful, moneyed interest, mostly emanating from Washington, D.C., who are trying to extend their tendrils of control over the education system of the entire country. Now, this has been going on for, you could say, decades, but there's been a really large push recently to get this Common Core standards platform adopted by every school in the country. And the amount of trickery, deception, lying, misinformation, basically propaganda that has emanated from some of these powerful lobbying groups in Washington who have a vested interest in pushing this, from people in the Obama administration, who are concealing the true nature of this program from the people. It's really disgusting, and it's really sad to see, especially because, I mean, this represents, in my view, a gambit to control the minds, the hearts and minds of our youngest generation. I am a millennial. I'm 27 years old. I am considering having my own kids sometime soon, and I want to be able to have them in an education system that does not you know, not controlled from Washington, but something in which I, as a parent, will be able to, you know, help to shape. But I see the Common Core as really one latest shot in a war by the federal government on my generation, the millennial generation. And I could go on and on about it, but one kind of key thing to focus in on is that the architect of this Common Core standards, one of the guys who wrote these standards that this the federal government has gotten governors to agree to adopt these standards, these kind of one-size-fits-all testing standards all over the country. The architect of this, guy by the name of David Coleman, you know, been a friend with Barack Obama since before he was president, back in the days when he was hanging out with Bill Ayers and a number of these communist people who don't, I think, have the best interests of our kids and our country at heart. He kind of came out of that crowd, and he ended up architecting this Common Core standard. He was the main guy helping to write this standard. And one of the, you know, initial pieces of deception, you hear about how these standards were created by all of these governors and, you know, influential educators. Well, it turns out that the main guy who wrote that was this guy, David Coleman, who was, you know, he admits it himself in a speech he gave this summer, that he was the main guy going around to all of these governors trying to gain support for these standards. And, you know, he did kind of some initial lobbying at the behest of the Obama administration Department of Education. But how the standard actually came, you know, in the past few years to actually be adopted by all of these states was the federal government essentially bribed states by threatening to withhold funding for important programs if they did not adopt these standards. Now, the reason that they had to do it that way, they couldn't just kind of impose things from the top down, is because the federal government is not allowed to write curriculum. They're not allowed to constitutionally come up with curriculum that are then going to be required by states and localities. But because we, the people, have allowed the federal government, especially the Department of Education, to become so large in the past 2-3 decades, I mean, the size of the Department of Education doubled under George Bush and No Child Left Behind, which is really a predecessor to this Common Core program, that really paved the way for it. So this is not like it's not a partisan issue. You know, it's a both parties kind of consenting to allow the expansion of the federal government in taking over our education system. But because we have allowed the government to get so large, the government provides a lot of funding to the states for different programs. And so when they first announced this race to the top funding that would be, you know, kind of they tied this funding program that the Obama administration kind of came up with in 2009 as kind of the evolution of the Obama administration's version of the No Child Left Behind program, which is all about kind of a one-size-fits-all set of national standards that teachers would have to teach to. And there's a lot of criticism for No Child Left Behind because, you know, teachers were then forced to, you know, teach to the test, and they're not able to do what they think is best for their students, but they have to go on this kind of top-down mandated approach. So that criticism was equally valid for No Child Left Behind, and there was a lot of criticism about that policy, but a lot of those same ideas made it into the new version, this race to the top. And so in 2009, Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education, called up a lot of the states and they said, look, you know, we are rolling out this new set of standards, and if you'd like to be eligible for millions and millions of dollars of race to the top grants, that you need to implement these standards. And they gave them 6 weeks. This was over the holidays of 2009. They gave them 6 weeks to consider whether or not to implement these standards. They said that we need an answer from you on the first week of January, or else, you know, you're not going to be eligible for this. I think the total pie that they were splitting up between the states was $4.35 billion. And so a number of the states, I think around 38 of the states, agreed to participate in this contest to where they would compete for this $4.5 billion worth of grant money by really hurriedly implementing these standards, which had never really been tested in any significant fashion across the country. This was kind of the brainchild of these progressive statist people associated with the kind of your Bill Ayers and people who have been heavily influenced by communists and very far left educators. Those kind of ideas worked their way through a series of councils that were based in Chicago in the 90s. There was one organization there that was chaired by Barack Obama for a little bit, and that's where he met Bill Ayers, and that, you know, Arne Duncan was part of that crowd, and Arne Duncan, now the Secretary of Education, is rolling out this program to all of these states and doing it in a very, very backhanded way. So the first 38 or so states signed on because they saw this big pot of money there that they wanted to be eligible for. And so about 38 of the states started the process of implementing these Common Core standards at that time. After that, for the states that have kind of been lagging behind, or they decided, you know, we really want more time to test out these standards and see how they actually work in practice before we agree to massively overhaul our education system. You know, we're going to kind of wait and see, or some states like Texas just said, you know, no, we don't want to be involved in that program. We want to, you know, craft our own education policies. Then instead of the kind of carrot approach of we'll give you this big reward if you implement the Common Core, then the government started threatening these states that they would become ineligible for the Title I funding, which they were already getting, that funding would be taken away. Title I funding funds, in part, education for special needs children. So, you know, states, these governors, are being put kind of between a rock and a hard place. They've got this big pot of money that the federal government is essentially bribing them with and has been bribing them with since the end of 2009. And now, instead of just having a choice between keeping what they have and taking this money, the choice is now take this money or you're going to lose the funding for your special education kids. So now it's up to like 46 states who have begun to roll out this Common Core platform in the schools. And it just I could go on and on and on and on about how bad the program is initially. I'll just say this one point. One of the architects, I mentioned the guy David Coleman, he gave a speech in May to a number of data executives. You hear a lot of talk these days about all of this data that's being collected on these citizens, from the NSA. You hear about Facebook's collecting it and, you know, where that information's going, and you don't know where your confidential information is. Well, part of the funding and the financing for the Common Core rollout in terms of this kind of big marketing campaign and lobbying campaign they did to convince all these governors, it was done in large part by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, in part because, and once you kind of like, I'm a web entrepreneur. I have a web company that we do a lot of work with data, and I can tell you that Microsoft and people who are kind of, they've got big corporations that they see the tremendous value of data. Data is why Facebook is, generating $1.8 billion of advertising revenue every quarter, and why their valuation is so high is because they have the biggest array of data. Well, as part of the Common Core state standard, the program, part of the Common Core adoption process is to have parents fill out like 10 pages of really specific information, like do you own a firearm? Have you, you know, how do you treat your child? How do you describe their personality? What is their detailed medical history? And gathering all of this information on every child, from the personality to just every little detail that you could conceive, is going into a database. It's being collected by the schools now, and under the kind of proposals that are currently going on, if you look at what corporations are getting involved to provide what services, basically the proponents of this program are trying to gather information on every student in every school and so that they can look at ways to monetize that information or better target, you know, policies or maybe products or things. And this is all being, they're building this big data center in Utah where this company, I think it's called InBloom, is going to be hosting all of this data for every child in the country is going to be held at this one facility in Utah. And so it goes along with that whole idea of, you know, we're centralizing the information of everybody, of every kid into one database. It's just a bad idea from a technical standpoint, but also kind of a security and a moral standpoint. Can you imagine what would be a more attractive target to hackers, to pedophiles, to any people who would misuse information to have every bit of information on all of the country's children in one place, and how insecure that is and how dangerous that is? And these people don't care. There's been almost no public oversight about these programs. They've never been put to a vote. No state legislature and Congress has never voted to approve the Common Core standards. The Department of Education is operating within this kind of authority that they think, I guess, has been granted to them through, you know, two decades of the Congress ceding more and more power to the Department of Education. This is all coming down from the top through the, you know, the presidential administration, the executive branch, the Department of Education, and these mandates are filtering down to the states. They are circumventing the spirit of the law, which is that the federal government is not allowed to create curriculum. But they're getting around that by instead the federal government, the Department of Education, has been spending hundreds of millions of dollars on funding these consortia, these like big organizations of governors and state officials to come in and produce, and they admit, these consortia, as they're applying for this federal grant money, they're admitting that part of what they're using this money for is to create model curricula that are then going to be given out to these teachers and you know, state education boards all over the country, which are like, they're kind of reeling because they don't know anything about what the standards are. You hear stories and stories about how, you know, state education commissioners have been asked to approve these standards without even having a chance to read them. It's disgusting. It's what it comes down to at the end of the day is a power grab from people in Washington who are, I have to use the word corrupt. If you're using trickery to get around the spirit of the law and your intent is to gather information for the purpose of controlling what students learn, controlling, micromanaging everything about you know, what they're learning, how they're learning it, how they are interacting with each other in schools. The teachers are being they're having their kind of prerogative and decision-making power severely curtailed and starting to be dictated by this central authority in Washington, which, if you look at their ideology and how this whole program got started, it got started by people who are on the far left who are wanting to impose a very certain set of ideas on students. The example I give in California is, they just passed this transgender bathroom bill where now every student, there's no such thing as boys' rooms and girls' bathrooms. If you are a boy and you decide that you're now a girl one day, you can just walk into the girls' bathroom and they can't do anything about it, or else it counts as discrimination. Like, those kinds of policies are how these, you know, entrenched, I think, corrupted progressives are thinking. And they see that stuff as a model for expanding to the rest of the country. So it's a big federal program. It's a big federal takeover. It's not specifically a partisan issue. To me, it's a philosophical issue and a moral issue. Philosophically, do we accept the idea that some bureaucrats in Washington know best what's best for our kids better than parents and teachers and controlling those things at the local level? And it's a moral issue because, I mean, like I said, I see this as a shots fired in a war to control the minds and hearts of my generation, and to not allow us as kids to, you know, and allow local teachers and parents to help decide what kind of curriculum needs to be, you know, sensible for the 21st century, and there, you know, and there'll be little differences in different localities and different states will interpret things differently. That's how America is supposed to work. We're supposed to have 50 different laboratories of democracy where if California wants to try one thing and Ohio wants to try another thing and Mississippi wants to try another thing, that should be allowed and encouraged and allow states to learn from each other instead of having some unaccountable bureaucrats making decisions for the rest of us, not even putting it to a vote, evading the letter of the law, and trying to shroud it in secrecy. So I see our chaff, you and me and your listeners and anyone who you know, cares about the future of this country, the future of our children, to learn up on this, to tell your neighbors, tell everyone that's in your circle. There's a lot of opposition that's mounting to Common Core and to restoring sanity to our education system. And basically, the more people learn up on this and learn the facts about it, the more people don't like it, the more people are angry. And it really feeds into what I see as a broader opportunity now that people are losing confidence, losing faith in the ability of our so-called leaders in Washington to chart the course forward. I think there has to be a revival, a civic revival, and in part a spiritual revival of people who are starting to assert control over their own lives, say, you know, enough is enough. We're not going to allow these corrupt bureaucrats and politicians in Washington to dictate our lives for us. We need to get involved ourselves. We all need to be active. We need to raise our voices as loud as we can and you know, find other people and work together with other people who are doing the same thing. So I think I talked for 10 minutes there. I'm going to take a breath now, if that's okay with you.
All right. And you did extremely well. One of the issues I did want to talk about is that the issue about the – if you decided that now you no longer want to be a boy or you no longer want to be a girl or whatever it is, that you can walk mm-hmm. into the bathrooms and do whatever you need to do. That's a major issue right there. You see, you know, maybe they should set up maybe a separate bathroom or whatever they might want to do, but that's an issue that definitely got my hair on the back of my head a little raised up on that, because I'm very, very concerned about that. Those of you who are out there, you should also be very concerned about that, especially now people, their sexuality is at a younger age now is definitely noticeable. So we need to take a look into this and find out exactly what happened. And also, Common Core is not good for our children. That's my opinion. On that note, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want. Then I gotta move on. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Reverend. Well, just so everyone knows, and that specific legislation that you mentioned, it's California AB 1266. It was just signed into law. It goes into effect January 1st, 2014. If you Google California transgender bathroom bill, you can read up on that. And you know, I'm all for non-discrimination, but to allow such confusion among third graders, I think, is reprehensible. But just to sum up, my name is Christopher David. I ran for Congress. In 2012, I was a kind of a libertarian Republican candidate for Congress here in the South Bay. I'm in the exploratory phase of running, assembling a campaign to run again for Congress. Anyone's welcome to check out my website. It's ChristopherDavid2014.com. We're just kind of, you know, putting the team together and assessing interest. So if anyone, you know, wants to learn more or get involved with me on taking action on Common Core or the kind of things that I've talked to, please look me up, ChristopherDavid2014.com, and you know, I hope to be back on your show, Reverend.
Hey, you know what? I will have you back on because you need to educate the people about this Common Core, and you did a tremendous job. I really, really appreciate it. And this is what we like to talk about. We like to talk about things that most people are not talking about. Christopher, I'd like to thank you. Just keep up the great work, and I will talk to you soon. I got to move on. I got to, if you care to listen on, because I'm pretty sure there are going to be a couple of people who want to comment on that and just to listen to what they have to say.
Sure. All right. Thank you,
everyone.
Right. I'll stay on.
All right. Thank you so much. Now I got to bring on my a young lady whose son has been in prison for a crime that was not a crime. She's at 484-554. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing today?
I'm doing a lot better. I appreciate you having me come onto your show. I'm extremely happy that people are now starting to listen. I've been very vocal about my son's story since day one of his arrest in July 1st, 2009. And it's going to be now 4.5 years that he has been incarcerated in Northampton County Prison, which is located in Easton, Pennsylvania. And he has been incarcerated now for 4.5 years without going to trial.
Wow. And in other words, he has not had his day in court.
No. No, he has not.
And well, why don't you tell us a little bit about it so the people out there can know and understand exactly what's going on. And I want you to get your message out there. That's what I want you to do. I want you to put the words out there that you want people to know about your son and what happened. Go take your time and let's hear it.
Okay, it is a rather long story, and I just want people to bear with me. My 20-year-old is also on the line, and he could fill in some details as well. Basically, to sum it up, my son has suffered from mental illness since the age of 5. He has been in and out of institutions. He did not ask to have mental illness. And unfortunately, as he got older, the diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, which is the worst form of mental illness you can have. A lot of people feel or think that schizophrenia makes a person very violent. In some cases that is the case, but in other cases it can make the person extremely shy. My son also has phobic anxiety, which means it's very hard for him to talk to people if he doesn't really know them, look people in the eye, and he would not want to judge, he would not want to draw any attention to himself. I just want to put that out there. But to sum it up, basically, unfortunately, a while ago, my son was kicked out of my house by my ex-husband. He was around 17 years of age. He was still trying to go to high school. Unfortunately, my ex-husband was he verbally abused me and physically abused me. And my son was always bigger than my ex-husband. He was always a big boy. And one night he just couldn't handle it anymore, and he stepped in between me and my ex-husband because he held out a weapon. And my son said, "You're going to have to go through me." Unfortunately, I have muscular dystrophy during that time. I was not really able to defend myself or really help out my son. My ex-husband was pretty much in control of everything. I wasn't working. So, but anyways, unfortunately, he ended up in Easton. He had to sleep outside along the Delaware River. Other homeless people told him that different houses that he could sleep in, he didn't have a winter coat. It was a really bad situation. Unfortunately, this girl saw him, and it was a young girl like him, and said, "Why don't you come home with me? I've been seeing you here in the center of Easton. Just come home with me so you can get, like, you know, some warm food, you know, get out of the cold." And at that point, that's when he met his accuser. This woman was already under the eye of Children and Youth for over 20 years. Unfortunately, one of her children died under her care. When she would get the girl's checks, she would leave weeks on end, which would leave my son to take care of kids that were younger than him. Altogether, it was 5 kids under the age of him. I don't want people, whoever's listening to the public, I don't want you thinking that I'm one of those blacks that like to pull the race card. But as a black person, you just know when a white woman, this is a white woman who accused my son, an older white woman in her 40s, when a white woman says that a black man raped her, believe me, they're going to run with it, they're going to believe it before they even look at to see if it was a truth or a lie or anything. It is just known in the back, if you're black, you just know that that's the thing. So whoever you think I'm pulling a race card, I'm not. But I need to put that out there. It got to the point that my son just couldn't take anything anymore, how this woman's behavior. He eventually wanted to leave her. And I, just thinking about everything that's been going on for the last 4 years with my son, I really regret that my son and I went to Children and Youth. The reason why I regret that is because that we went to Children and Youth took her kids away. She lost all parental rights. They were put in foster care. So that meant she lost her her meal tickets, in my opinion. She was getting checks for the girls. And so about 8 months to a year later, my son is charged with horrible sex crimes, abuse crimes, and there was absolutely no proof of that. The reason why I say that is because two Children Youth workers from the Eastern Children Youth went to the house twice a week, school every day. The teachers would have noticed something. I don't know if my friend was able to call in. She's a very good friend of the family since 2000. She's a hairdresser. So she knows what to look for and everything. And she saw one of the girls before my son's arrest. And she didn't see anything. And I don't know if she's able to call in or to hear what I'm saying right now. But she was one of my son's best witness. The other best witness would be the Children Youth workers, because they're mandated reporters, and also the girls' teachers, the nurses, anybody that was in the Eastern School District at that time. My son, on July 1st, the Eastern cops called me to say that they had a warrant out for my son's arrest, and I brought him in. My son, during that time, was also under the eye of Elwyn, which is an agency that helps adults with mental illness. His caseworker said, you don't have to go. You know, my son said, what? I have nothing to hide. I didn't do anything. When we brought him to the police station, the Eastern Police immediately handcuffed him. My son later told me that he was asking if he was going to have his rights read to him. They said they don't have to because Pennsylvania is a Commonwealth state. My son also asked, they said you don't have to have an attorney present because Pennsylvania is a Commonwealth state. He asked if he could talk to the judge. The cops said, no, we will speak for you. They told the judge that my son is a menace to society and to put a huge bail over his head. They set his bail at $500,000, no 10%, cash only. I'm just trying to pick up everything. Also, during that time, my father, he attained a well-renowned lawyer that's out in Eastern Pennsylvania. I will say his name. His name is Attorney Phil Lauer. We went with him because we were told, my dad was told, that he was the best lawyer that was out there to get my son out of the situation. We found out later, 2 years later, after my son was already in prison, that for some reason Attorney Lauer told my son, probably didn't tell him, he signed his rights away to a speedy trial, which we don't understand why that was ever done. To go back to my son's mental illness, so now for 4.5 years, my son has not gotten the proper mental help that he needs for his illness.
Let me ask you a question. Have you went to trial or what?
No, we haven't gone to trial at all, and it's being put out there that the reason why we haven't gone to trial is because of his mental illness.
Okay.
I do admit that his mental illness has gotten worse since he's been in prison, but they, in my opinion, they had plenty of time if they wanted to go to trial. The DA is saying my son has raped these girls.
How many girls is he supposed to have raped?
Altogether, it's going to be five. No, really, it's five girls that live in it, but like four girls. because the other one was a baby, so I guess she didn't want to say anything. I don't know why that they didn't include her as well.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I'm trying to just get my thoughts back on. And so they're saying that he hasn't gone to trial. The thing is, the DA is saying that she has all this. She's saying that they have all this stuff against my son. They're saying that they know that my son did these things. They're saying that my son took a claw hammer against these girls' teeth, but then no dental records were ever produced. They said that my son raped these girls, but no rape kit was ever produced. The children youth workers that would have noticed anything with their nail, any injuries whatsoever, none of that stuff was produced. And I don't know the law, but I'm just assuming with those horrible things that they're saying that my son did, he should have been upstate by now. It's 4.5 years later. Since my son's incarceration, December of 2009, my son was beaten over the head, and during this time, my son was in protective custody. Some of the inmates held him down, and one inmate somehow got a wooden dustpan brush and hit him over the head. Officer Hill witnessed the beating. He didn't do anything about it. He did pull Terrell into his office and said, "Terrell, oh, I'm sorry how bad it went down, but you can't say anything about your injuries because you know what will happen to your family." So right then, Terrell would just shut up because he didn't want anything happening to his family because there was already a hit on his other brother at Liberty High. So he just kept it to himself. I would notice when he would call me or doing when I would see him at the prison during the visit, he couldn't really hear me. And I said, "Trev, what's going on?" And he finally admitted that he couldn't hear out of his ear anymore. And he said that he couldn't see out of his left eye. He just sees like a white spot in front of that eye now. He never got any medical attention for that. My son.
Wow. Do you ever go see him?
I right now I'm able to see Terrell Friday evenings over at the prison now.
Okay. Listen, why don't you get together with him and have him to write me?
Okay. I would write to I would tell Terrell. The thing is I would have to write that information down. I'm being honest. I know I'm jumping way ahead. I did see my son this previous Friday. Right now,
okay.
My son is upset with me, which is hurts me, but I'm not going to be upset with him because I know partially it is his mental illness. But the reason why he's upset is because I am aware, I'm assuming that his attorney knows that I'm being vocal about this and people are starting to listen. He offered my son a plea deal several times in public. My son's attorney has said that my son is completely innocent. Now, so it doesn't make any sense that he will offer a plea deal. The plea deal is that the DA will drop all the charges except for two misdemeanors. I asked Terrell, "What are those misdemeanors?" He said he didn't know. His attorney told him, "Well, Terrell, I'll try my best to make sure that you don't go to state prison. It's protocol. Once you are sentenced or if you sign a plea deal, you're going upstate. That's just the procedure. They're not going to keep you in county prison." The other thing also, he said for the two misdemeanors, my son would get 5 to 8 years.
For a misdemeanor?
Okay. Yeah. Now, my son's charges, they add up to almost 140 years. So why couldn't he just knock out those two misdemeanors? I don't even know what they are. Now, my son's attorney also said that he could promise to get my son home by July. I said to Terrell, I said, and this might sound horrible to the audience, I said, "Why, in a body bag?" The reason why I say that, with the charges that my son has of being a sexual predator, as they're labeling him, the minute he gets upstate, he will be killed. He's already been beaten in county prison. My son, he's not in any position to defend himself. And so that really irritates me. And I feel, I'm not a lawyer, so if there's any lawyers listening, or anybody that knows the law, that I feel the reason why they went to trial to plead guilty to those two misdemeanors is that way he'll get off the hook if my son is able to sue, or if anybody out there is able to file a civil suit against what has happened to that. That will stop that right there. That's my opinion. This attorney's office is just across the street from the county prison. He has probably seen my son maybe four times, if that, and we always would ask him, and my son would ask him, please come visit me at the prison. He wouldn't. But he made sure that he went and gave, I don't know if he left the plea deal with him, but my son is upset with me, and he now feels that his attorney wants to help him, saying, Ma, you don't want me to come home, do you? But I understand that's a mental illness, and what upsets me is that his attorney is going to be that dirty to and that sneaky. He already tricked my son to signing his rights away, you know, the first year he was in. Now he wants to have my son sign a plea deal to get to, so he'll make sure that he doesn't get in trouble, and the DA, which is Pat Brocious, and Judge Zito, who has been sitting on this case for the last 3 years.
Wow, listen to this. Listen, you got about 90 seconds. Tell us what you want people to know, and how can we help you?
I would like everybody, if they could, to go to a petition that I did for Terrell. It's called Free Terrell Scott. It's at doc.org. You'll be able to see it. You can go to my Facebook page, which is Holly Alston. And I want the public to know I really, really need your support. I need to help get my son released out of the prison into a proper place to get his mental health situated, a psychiatrist that could help him because he's been raped, he's been beaten. And I just want people to know his story. I've gone to the NAACP. They would not help me. I've gone to Reverend L. Sharpton. He has not bothered to help me. I've gone to CNN. Every media outlet I've gone to, no one has helped me. So if anybody's interested, if they could help, I would really, really appreciate it.
All right. Listen, let's talk soon, you and I, so we can see what we can do. Because I like to talk to his attorney and find out exactly what his plans are. If you get a chance, give me a call after the show.
Okay, I will.
All right,
thank
then.
You.
God bless you, and you hang in there. And those of you out there who can help, please go to our website and help her out. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon. I got to bring in my good friend, my guy, from beautiful New York, Ralph Point. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pink Day, and I'm listening to every word. I hope the reception is coming in, but I would like to make a few things clear so that people understand the issue, because education is everything. And I started teaching in 1957, and I would like to make some observations that people should be aware of. Now, the first observation is that a core content has always been a part of American education. As all of you over 60 years old remember that there was no African-American history. There was no African history. The content of the books were decided by publishers based on how many they could sell. And they felt that they couldn't sell any books. This was one reason they gave, if it had any reference to people of color in the books. And so this has always been a part of our miseducation system. High-stakes testing, again, it has been and is now and will be a part of our education system. For example, if you want to go to college, you better score on your SATs, high-stakes testing. If you want to go to law school, you better score on your LSATs. Follow me, medical school, you better score. Who is the competition? People outside of the black and Latino communities. They have education that enables them to pass these tests. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about what we know, and people are giving us smoke and mirrors. We know that black children have the school system has failed black children over the years. The inner city has been robbed. And all we have now is more robbery. They are controlling the education, the money stream, more and more. In the South, black teachers could teach, but they couldn't have the same amount of money that white teachers had. They couldn't have the same facilities that white schools had. This is the question. Do we control our education, or does someone else control it? And now they are working for more control. Bathroom issues, a red herring. Got nothing to do with nothing. So we must all fight for community control of our education budget. We must fight for more than that. But let us not be confused by nonsense such as high-stakes testing, which we have always had and will have. When they give you figures like India graduates more honor students than America graduates, and guess where black students are in that picture? China, the same thing. Guess where black students are in that picture? And so we must control the education of our schools, and we haven't been willing to fight that fight. We allow the political party in charge to do that with the same results, from the plantation to the projects to the prison. We have to stop that. And it is not about high-stakes testing. It is not about who goes to the bathroom. It is not about anything but the interest of who has the interest of our children at heart. It's not the president. It's not Arne Duncan. It is not a teachers' association. It is not an association of educators. It is the people themselves in that community. And if we don't control it, we're whistling Dixie. And I will drop that subject. And I would like to go on to say that the importance of your program is that you, the one single leader who has been able to deal with the issues that we have to deal with. I hurt my lip this weekend chopping wood. Can you imagine? And I imagine you can tell it. But the issue that makes you extremely important is you have organized a successful boycott. We must learn as a people to keep our pennies in our pocket. You have done that. So-called leaders in the past, a la Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, etc., have used the idea of boycott for their own benefit. Jesse Jackson lined up with Cadillac against Mitsubishi, Al Sharpton with Coca-Cola. We have all been misused. But you, your program of boycott has been successful, and so we must again learn to support those who support us. I was talking to Lynn Stewart the other day, and she says, my main purpose is to keep people's eye on the ball. What is the ball? The ball is money. We live in a capitalist society, and if we don't control the money due to our communities, then we're in trouble. And so we must be aware that control of economics so that we can have housing. And I want to remind everyone that as I spoke last week on the Affordable Care Act, watch it, get in on it as quick as you can before time runs out on you. Study it, because what Obama did when the computers failed, he went to the same people who have been stealing from us, the insurance companies, to get a fix. And so when we did not get single-payer health care, we set ourselves up for robbery, and it is so bad that there are many people who want to go back to a program even worse than the Affordable Care Act. This is the problem with miseducation or not being aware of what's going on. And so we must listen, tune in to Reverend Pinkney's program and learn about what's going on and support the program. And I thank you for the time. Lynn thanks you for the time. Please go to lynnstewart.org and read her latest contributions. And one is Thanksgiving Day. Get it right. Thanksgiving Day. And the other is her address to the Lawyers Guild of Rutgers University. And is at both of these articles are short, 5-6 minutes, educational, entertaining, and continue making the phone calls to the president, to the Bureau of Prisons, Samuels, and to the head of the Justice Department. And so the numbers are out there. They're on the website. Call 2 or 3 times a week to make them understand that we have not forgotten Lynn Stewart. Thanks again, Reverend Pinkney. Look forward to the rest of the program.
And, Ralph, thank you. I will see you December the 3rd. I will be there and we'll make sure that we talk before then so you know exactly what we're going to do.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to line up more engagements for you so that people understand what it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look forward to seeing you, and we will talk, you know, after the program. Thanks
very
again,
good.
And
very
I apologize for my lip. I should wear a hockey shield when I'm chopping wood.
Absolutely. Take care of yourself. We need you. All right. Let me move on. It's that time again. It's time for our TIs, the TI time. One of the books that's just been written, Soldier of Fortune by Philip Baskin, is now out, and we have now a portion of it about the TIs themselves, target individuals, individuals who have been targeted by our government with the microwave, you name it, lasers, you name it, it's there. They're doing everything they can, the Wi-Fi is there. But those of you who are out there, this Thursday we will be discussing Soul Catcher by Robert Duncan. And I want those out there to make sure that you read it so you'll be able to talk about it. And I want everybody to go out and purchase that book. God bless you. And I got to bring on John. John, are you there? John and Terry?
All right. Are you asking for us? How are you, Reverend?
Yes, great. How about yourself?
Very good. We had a very interesting week. We did a news story in West Virginia, Terry and myself and another targeted individual from that area, and they published it. So what they did was they packaged it like adult bullying is the catchphrase that they put onto this, and it's very encouraging. I don't think they covered everything they could have, but I think they still covered a lot of what they should have. So it's out there.
Did you have the story in front of you?
No, I do not, because I'm not, I don't
can
have
you,
a computer.
Can you tell us about the story?
Let me put Terry on, and she can describe to you what she, you know, did for her part of the interview, and then I'll describe what I said for mine while we try and load it up.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, this is Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great.
Very good. I'm glad to be able to talk. I've been listening to you for a while now. So we were in West Virginia last week to see a TI friend of ours, and we just happened upon this reporter. And I think it was divine intervention, because I can't think of any other way that this happened. Because I was just at a gas station getting gasoline, and she asked if anyone wanted to talk about the lower prices of gas. And she had an interview with a man who was pumping up his vehicle. And then when she completed with him, I asked her if she knew anything about organized stalking and if she would like to talk to some people who are going through that. And she said she was aware of it and that she herself had experienced some type of stalking. I think it was when she was in college. And that it was an issue that was very important to her and that she said she would like to speak with us about it. So the three of us met with her, and John and I both spoke. Our friend in West Virginia did not want to speak on camera because she is very fearful because her targeting is extremely severe. And so we both talked, and I talked for maybe 30 minutes. And of that 30 minutes that I spoke, and John spoke an additional 20 to 30 minutes probably on camera, they only made about a two-minute clip for the news, but they did cover some of what we went over. And we are trying to load it up right now so that we can read it out loud to everyone. But basically, I was talking about, if I can remember here, the harassment I was getting, especially online. And I was talking about how all my activities were being monitored and then being read back to me as a harassing, taunting way of letting me know that I was being watched and followed. And then I also spoke about how we need laws to be passed and to be upheld, and that we need to get ethics back into our lives because we've lost a lot of that. And then John spoke, and I'll bring him on to speak about what he spoke about, and then we'll play it for you, or we'll read it out loud for you.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I mentioned the Space Preservation Act to the reporter, and they didn't include that in the story. A lot of things that we talked about, they did not include in the story, which, you know, I guess you can't really pick and choose what they're going to put on the air. It's a two-minute news clip, so.
Absolutely. In 2 minutes, sometimes when you get 2 minutes, that's a lot of time for TV. A lot of time they don't give you but 30 seconds.
Well, I made it very clear to her that we got a problem with, like, rogue surveillance in our country. And, you know, I told them it's a global issue. And that we got people suffering that are very, very sick as a result being targeted. And, you know, I didn't go any deeper than that. I didn't get into too much of the sci-fi sounding stuff, but I just told them, look, you know, there's no way that you could harass one person to the extent that they are capable of doing unless they have some form of very draconian surveillance available to know what that person is doing. So we need to take a closer look at who does what and what is what. And she was very engrossed in the things that we were saying. She was very receptive to us. And I think we did okay. So I think it's a good thing.
I'm
going
to read it out loud.
All right. You ready with the...
I have the written article here if you'd like me to read that real quickly.
Yes, please. Read that for us.
Okay. It begins. How do you do that? It begins, here on 5 News, we've told you about all kinds of bullying that happens in schools, but bullying doesn't just affect kids. It affects adults, too. We met 3 people Thursday who are victims of adult bullying, or as they refer to it, organized stalking. 2 of them are from Pennsylvania, but were in the area for their support group, which helps them get through their daily struggles of people constantly putting them down. We feel this is a great abuse going on in the world, not just in our country, but across the world. We feel that this is a global problem, said John, victim. John and Terry are friends from Pennsylvania who have been living in fear for years. I was inundated with harassment, just absolutely inundated with it. I would be told what I did that day, what I did the day before, where I went, what I had to eat, what I was wearing currently, and where I was sitting in my apartment, said Terry. Some of us that are single people that live alone are harassed in the community. The hacking of electronic devices, computers, and phones, said John. These are just 2 of the many people in the world who are suffering from stalkers and bullying. It's totally immature. It's like 10-year-old on the schoolyard bullying, but yet it's on steroids with adults. It goes so much further than that, said Terry. People who are suffering from this lose money from changing locks, fixing computers, or even moving. Just a slow takedown of a person's life over time. I had a respectable career, and I was married, and I had a home and a car. typical thing. Now I don't have a whole lot left in the world, said John. Terry and John have gone to the police with the information, but apparently lack the evidence needed for a case. I actually took the computer and threw it in the dumpster, which was a terrible thing to do because the hard drive and everything was in there. I had tons and tons of things on there that probably would have been helpful, said Terry. We are trying to gather evidence that we can that things are going on, said John. Why do people do this? What can be done? It seems to me that they are enjoying being a part of this. We need laws to be passed. We need laws to be upheld. We need ethics to come back into our lives, said Terry. Luckily, Terry and John have found support groups that help them get through day-to-day life. It's important to have connection with other people going through this, said John. I can't describe what it's been like to talk to somebody who understands this and then to find out that there's people all over the country that are going through this. I've made so many friends now, and it's been the difference between being able to keep going and not, said Terry. Terry and John said hopefully by coming forward, people will be more aware of this problem. And that's the end.
Wow, that's a pretty great article. It looked like she did a good job. At least she got the message out there, which I love to hear. These a lot of times when you speak of the word TI, they don't want to really hear it. But now the world is listening because we know we got three-quarters of a million people that before this week is out will hear that story on our show. So we're looking good. We're saying it, but we're getting it out. But listen, you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and then I got to move on because, like I said, this is TI time. None but TIs will be talking. So go right ahead.
Well, I wanted to say if anybody wants to look at the article, it's WDTV.com, West Virginia. They can go on there and look at it, and they can also watch the video. They can post comments. And I also want people to know out there that this is absolutely real and that what we're talking about is just the tip of the iceberg. We did not discuss with the reporter the horrific abuse that we are dealing with. It goes way past the harassment and the stalking and the tapping of the phones and whatnot. We are talking about torture, 24 hours a day, direct energy weapons being used on our bodies. We're talking about our minds being hacked, and this is real. I'm a registered nurse, and before this happened to me, I would never have believed this. It is happening to me now. And I know it is happening to me, it's happening to my friends, and the things that they are able to do with the technology is beyond atrocious. They are able to torture people in such ways you cannot think this stuff up, and it is happening. And if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. If it can happen to you, it can happen to your friends, your family, it can happen to anyone. And we need to tell people, do not get involved in organized stalking. Gang stalking is murder. We must tell people not to get involved in this. They are selling their souls to the devil. And that's all
wow.
I have to say.
Very, very good. Very good, Terry. You told it just like it should have been told, and I hope people understand how important it is. This gang stalking, this targeting of individuals is criminal, and we must stop it as soon as possible. So let's all work together and get this done. But listen, I got to let you go. I got to bring on my good friend Gloria. And we will talk soon. All right, now. Listen, Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney.
How you doing today?
I'm good, although I had a harrowing experience this week because I'm a TI. I had taken my car. Greetings, everyone. I'm glad everybody's on the line because I really want you to hear this. I use my car every day. I have a housekeeping service, so I need my car on the road. I'm very diligent and vigilant about having my oil changed and the tires rotated and whatever. And I went to AAA, which is just a few blocks away from me because I had a matter of days for the inspection before it was up. I went there, and the gentleman changed the tire. And the first light bulb moment I had that I didn't feel comfortable about it is because when I got home, I looked in the back of my car, and I have an SUV, and there's the tire thrown in the back of the car as opposed to putting it back in the tire well. So I'm driving my car around, and the gentleman did say to me, he says, "It seems like somebody spilled oil on your motor." Okay. So I'm driving my car around. After a while, a few days go by, and I could hear this boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, what the heck is that? This happened in the middle of the day. So the gentleman that works with me, I said, Nick, let's check my oil. So I checked the oil. I had to buy 2 quarts of oil. And I thought, this is too unusual. My car is a 2009. It's not 5 years old yet. I don't have 50,000 miles on it. So I was very disturbed. I took it back to the Kia dealers, and I was ready to give it to them. But I was calm and cool when I went in, and I said, there's some kind of thumping sound in my car, and plus I had 2 quarts of oil short. I said, where did the oil go? So, because they did the oil the last time, I always take it back to Kia. Well, the gentleman came out to me and said, Gloria, where did you take your car? Who checked your wheel? Where were you the last time you had that wheel checked? I said, I was at AAA. He said, Gloria, don't ever go back there again. I said, what was the problem? He said, your wheel was about to roll off. I'm like, what do you mean roll off? I wanted to know in detail. He said, if you had driven any longer, your tire, the wheel, would have rolled off of your car. I was very annoyed. I called AAA corporate, which they shuffled me back to AAA where I was, not far from my house. And I decided, no, I'm going to go after corporate because I'm not having it. What is happening, people are under a Wi-Fi experimentation. If you notice, everything is Wi-Fi. If you look on the school buses and you see the little lights flashing, that's Wi-Fi on the bus. Wi-Fi is everywhere. Barry Trower said because of all the Wi-Fi at the police stations, you know, their walkie-talkies, their radios, they're everything. It's Wi-Fi, and that's why they are so aggressive. You know, police have been known to kill people when they were handcuffed, like in Fruitvale, California. So I just wanted to say, you know, I put my grandchildren in that car. We drive places, we go places. I put my mother, she's 86 years old, in my car to take her. And I felt, if you're this doggone callous, then I'm going to take you to task. I'm not going to stop. I told them, I said, I go on a blog radio. There's over 700,000 people. And I will say your name, because it was like I had a flash of a nightmare before me as I stood in the Kia dealers. And all I can imagine, my children, my grandchildren, we could have been killed. So, you know, this mind control and the electronic harassment and everything, it doesn't just affect us. We get the worst end of it because we're tortured. But that man that was fixing my car was under mind control because of the Wi-Fi experimentation going on. And we must pay attention to this. Barry Trower, the leading expert on microwaving and this intelligence, said if we do not stop the Wi-Fi and this microwaving, it will be as if, remember years ago when the children in England were born without bones in their limbs because of some medication they fast-tracked and gave it to all the poor pregnant women so they wouldn't get morning sickness? And here their children were born without bones in their limbs. And he said, this is what we are creating with the use of this Wi-Fi. So I'm telling all the TIs out here, we must come together until we can chop this government down to size. We have to come together And let me know who your mechanic is. We'll give them, I'll give him my business. I don't want to deal with anyone such as that. We are always, every day that we get up, if we get up, when I first get up, I'm in pain where they have hit me and touched me all night long to my sleep. Walk around, take a shower, you kind of even out. As you're pulling out of your driveway, you're backing out, then the traffic starts out of nowhere. Boom, 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 cars back and forth, back and forth. You can't even get out of your yard. And as you're driving, they'll run through a red light. They'll come out of their driveway as if they're going to hit you. And you're always, always have to be like two steps ahead of them. You always, when I'm driving, I keep my, you know, no more than 35 or 40 because you never know what mind-controlled minion is going to come out after you.
Wow.
So I wanted to share that with everyone because our life, we're in the hands of whoever's being mind-controlled. If you go to a drugstore and purchase medication through the pharmacy, you don't know what you're getting because you don't know if they're being tested with this Wi-Fi experimentation.
Absolutely. You are absolutely correct, Gloria. And that Wi-Fi, people got to understand that. Be careful with the Wi-Fi. Especially if you're a woman, you will produce children with boneless feet, boneless hands, baby deformed. Wi-Fi is here. So we better make them aware. Thank you so much, Gloria. I really, really appreciate you. And I got to move on. I got to bring in my friend from California, 818-613-9206. I got to bring him on. But I love you, Gloria, and just hang in there, all right? God bless you now.
Yes, sir. Thank you for listening.
All right now. 818, are you there?
Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. This is Edward. And I've been listening to your show, and I certainly would like to talk to the certain individuals that spoke on the show so that I can help them in their endeavors, because I'm quite knowledgeable about the actual way the legal system works. It is nothing to do with anything people think it is. It is beyond anybody's imagination. As soon as you get a lawyer, you're giving up your rights and admitting that you are incompetent in the law, period. Unless you understand how the courts work, you cannot be at all effective in the courtrooms, period, okay? The best thing you can do is stay out of the courtrooms and not have anything to do with them, honestly. But as far as the TIs go in our conversations that we've had, targeted individuals by frequency, people don't know about it, Jesse Ventura did a whole show on targeted individuals. And it was quite extraordinary. It was definitely eye-opening to me. He's done a lot of great shows that have not appeared on television. They kicked him off the television station, and a personal friend of mine was asked to meet with him about 2 years ago. He sent his private plane to have him picked up, and he's a colonel in the United States Marines who fought in about 50 wars, and they're friends because of Jesse Ventura's background, and he told them straight up, I had 45 death threats already after doing a conspiracy theory show and reporting on all these different instances about them using the HAARP on Fukushima and radiating us, and now the radiation is headed over here. They're not telling us. I'm on other radio shows, and they inform me of different things that they've been informed of. And I got to tell you something. We're being bombarded as far as our health goes. Targeted individuals are being targeted with frequency. My estimation, since I've been reversing dysfunctional health for many years, and I have people just this weekend alone, Reverend Pinckney, I got calls that bring tears to my heart. When people call me up and tell me, thank you, you saved my life, thank you, you saved my mother's life, I mean, money can't buy the feeling you get. I get goosebumps up and down. This is why I got involved in doing what I'm doing. I witnessed my mother's death. They murdered her with chemotherapy and radiation back in 1967, and the same men are in charge of Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital. They're making $106 billion a year off of chemotherapy, and they wouldn't dare let anybody know the truth about how to reverse cancer. They keep everything hidden. I have whistleblower files that anybody can see, and they will be they're riveting. You got to be sitting down when you read these reports from doctors. What I've been doing is showing people how to reverse their stage, even stage 4 anything can be reversed. Cancer, I have a number of doctors I was introduced to by major reporters that have been doing this for 25 years, reporting on biooxidative therapies. They would introduce me to, for instance, the most brilliant chemist they believed on the planet, who would show me, not just tell me. First they told me, then I had to see for myself and talk to patients and doctors where their stage 4 cancer that they tell them there's no cure for, we radiated you, we gave you chemotherapy, and now you have 2 months, 6 months. That's called stage 4. They can't do any more for you. Well, they have over a 91% success rating at reversing stage 4 cancer. If you can do that, you can do anything. The basic truth is that the body is filling up with disease everywhere. What is the word disease? Break it down in syllables. Language is very important. Okay, dis-ease, two separate syllables, dis-ease, lack of ease, stress, tension on the body. When you remove the tension and stress on the body, and we're talking about positive ionic matter, everything that's positive ionic is poisons. You're talking about chemicals, poisons, toxins, unwanted bacteria, viruses, radiation, and heavy metals. Heavy metals are what they use frequency on to control our weather all throughout the United States for almost 4 decades. They spray the clouds that they produce with rocket engines on the ground, giant clouds that are going all the way up into the stratosphere, creating ice balls. In the middle of the summer, I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and hail was coming down. My son's car in Oklahoma got hit twice with hail in the month of June. You're talking about a hot month. He collected insurance payments twice and had to have a brand new Mercedes fixed because it had dents all over, and so did all the car lots, okay? A lot of companies, insurance companies, are giving up hail damage. They got hail coming down in all different cities. People don't know they've been controlling the weather with the Dopplers, which are supposed to be radar. They use them to put out frequency to create tornadoes, to stop tornadoes, like the one in Moore, Oklahoma. They shut it down in 15 seconds. I got the videos from another radio show. I told them, well, I was going to tell my family about that one in Moore, but I didn't have any conclusive evidence, and I didn't want him to think I'm crazy and just bringing up a subject and don't have anything to back me up. He says, you want something? You want proof? I'll send you. Oh, my God. He sent me one video, Weather Wars 101, and I looked it up, and then there was 24 more videos on one click, and I spent over 20 hours investigating. That tornado that destroyed Moore was on its way to Tinker Air Force Base, and they didn't want it to hit the Air Force Base. It disappeared in 15 seconds when they put the frequency out to the Doppler. They spray the clouds with the chemtrails, which is aluminum and different chemicals that are actually heavy metals. And that's how they can control it with frequency, otherwise they can't. Well, you know, all I was thinking is, why didn't they shut it down before they hit more? Well, they were doing the Benghazi investigation. And let's face it, the people that screwed up, like the president, who arranged the kidnapping of the ambassador and the other four and then told the military to stand down, but they didn't listen and they went in there. Well, the people that did the abduction thought that they were double-crossed by the president. Well, he didn't want all this investigated. He's been trying to block that investigation all this time. He figured he'd exchange him for a high-level prisoner and win the presidency by doing the exchange. He'd be a hero. Well, he wanted that block, so that day they made a tornado, a devastating tornado. All I'm telling you is that individuals that have every kind of illness I've been reversing for years, I haven't been reversing it, Mother Nature reverses it. All they have to do is learn how to get the toxins and heavy metals out of their body and re-nutritionalize their body. We have a few things that are working so successfully that I have people calling me, telling me I saved their life, I saved their life, I saved their life. You can't buy the feeling you get from listening to somebody call you up and say, thank you so much. You've saved my life. Oh, my God. The feeling I get is so astounding. I tell you, no amount of money, and I've had fortunes in my life, no amount of money can buy a feeling like that. And if we get the heavy metals out of people's bodies, and I've done it with individuals that have autism, in one bath alone with the calcium bentonite clay, in one bath, they start talking and don't shut up. I have testimonies from so many individuals of situations from every type of skin disease known to man that's reversed, including the flesh-eating disease, says the World Health Organization, using the calcium bentonite clay. Pulling out the heavy metals out of the body so that they don't feel their broken leg from 40 years ago and they're not the weatherman anymore, because it removes all heavy metals, which is all scar tissue. It lowers down to the surface of the skin. All scars can be removed by wrapping it with thick amounts of calcium bentonite. By drinking the calcium bentonite, you get rid of all digestive tract disorders. I don't care. Any kind of gastrointestinal problem, you put it in your body, cleans out your colon. Ed Clements is 75 years old. He called me 5 years ago. He said, I just had a colonoscopy. He said, the doctor said, I have the cleanest colon he's ever seen. What do I attribute that to? He thought about it and he said, oh, maybe it's that calcium bentonite I take all the time. 5 years later, last month, I spoke to him. I reminded him of that conversation. He said, yeah, I just went to the doctor. He told me again, I have the cleanest colon he's ever seen. Well, yeah, there are ways, simple ways, that indigenous people on this planet have been using for thousands of years, and a lot of it's been lost. They've developed certain things like a new nutritional product that came out 36 months ago, and I got to tell you, it changed my whole family's health. Kidneys started working again after 2 days. My son's mother was crying, and she admitted to him why she was crying, because her kidneys were working again. My daughter's depression after 40 years, gone. Steve's depression, gone, off the sleep apnea machine that he was on for 4 years, on his 8th day of taking this product called Zeal with 100 superfoods and nutritional ingredients in it. What I'm doing is helping people to understand that you can take charge of one thing in your life. You may not be able to change the political system. You may not be able to control what the schools are doing. And the subject that you were talking about, Common Core curriculum, I'm very familiar with it. They have miseducated all of us in the schools. It's all been propaganda. It's all one big lie. The history they taught was a total lie. The same people that control our politicians actually funded Hitler. They sent Hitler in as a CIA operative to check out the parties in Germany and what the parties were doing. And when they came back, when he came back and reported what they were doing, they said, "I like that. We'll fund that." And they funded Hitler. They funded Trotsky and Lenin to overtake Russia. The same people control our politicians. We have the best government money can buy. And let me tell you, for $3 billion, you can own the Republican and Democratic Party for 12 months. You can literally own it for only $3 billion. What a price, let me tell you. And if that's the kind of government that we are planning on changing, you're talking about getting in a room with an 800-pound gorilla. I don't know about you, but I'm not about to get in a room with an 800-pound gorilla when I can go. Under the 3,700 years worth of international law, I have the right of self-determination, and I have the right to literally govern myself with a nation that is filed properly with the family of nations and has treaties with other nations of friendly governments, and we can do business with those governments on that level, and we all can take standing in our nation and help run our nation. But you have to want to govern yourself, or you must be governed under international law. You are either going to take charge and govern yourself with your own nation, or you must be governed. And I don't see too many of these nations, especially the one here, which I am not making war with them. I am wanting to go to peaceful settlement with all nations. I am not looking to go to war with any nations. And I am certainly not going to be a slave that tries to overturn the slave masters. So many of these patriotic shows are talking about rising up against the government, arresting the government. That's illegal under international law. The slave can never rise up against the slave master. However, you have the right of self-determination to operate your own nation. And we will have sovereign territories, I believe, in many parts of the world. We have plans I'm not allowed to talk about right now. We have technology that is absolutely astounding, that's been hidden from the people. People have been murdered over it. Much of this technology is at our disposal. We will have everything that we need, God willing, and God is willing. I am absolutely sure of it because I've read all those books that everybody reads, all the scriptures from beginning to end, every word in them of the versions that I got, even though there's many versions, over 5,000 of them in hand right now, just of the Old and New Testament. They have 5,000 versions. But it says in there, our people shall perish for lack of knowledge. We must educate ourselves, and we must do it quickly. Everyone who can wake up needs to wake up. We can't save everybody, but we need to save ourselves, and then maybe we can save more. First thing is, there's two things that you can do in this world, only two things. You can control two things, what you put in your mouth and what comes out of your mouth, your spoken word. The types of food you put in your mouth, genetically modified foods, poisons, toxins, fluoride. Everyone must understand that they're not reading labels in the supermarket. The FDA says that more than 50% of the corn syrup has mercury in it. Mercury accumulates in your body, causes incredible problems with our health. If you allow the products that are produced in the supermarket and you consume them without reading the labels and you want to just put mercury in your body with all the corn syrup that's in all the products. By the way, it's subsidized. All corn. There's $5 billion subsidizing corn. That's why it's the favorite sweetener amongst the giant corporate food companies right now. It's the cheapest. So, and it creates the most weight on people's bodies. The pharmaceutical companies control the curriculum of the doctors, which never, ever learn anything about nutrition. They have about 2 hours of training. I'm on a radio show in Hawaii, and he's been reporting since 1981, and doctors would call up and ask him what his credentials were. So he went and got his master's in nutrition. They stopped calling. No doctors will call a man who has his master's in nutrition to ask him what his credentials are. So when he speaks from truth. We have amazing amounts of individuals that are reversing their dysfunctional health, giving up and cutting their medications in half, their insulin in half, their high blood pressure medication, getting off of their insulin, getting off of their high blood pressure medication, their kidney medication, as my son's mom's done, their depression medications, their anti-seizure. Steve, my son's cousin, by his 13th day, his wife says, you're not having 3 and 4 seizures anymore at night. Well, he started using that product just to make money. People are making fortunes with a product that's not in the stores, and it's working amazing results for so much dysfunctional health. He was so surprised when his health completely returned to himself. I invited him over the other night, and we had a get-together, and he explained what happened to him, and everybody was completely blown away, and I'll be glad to let you talk to him if anybody has any serious
Hey, Edward, listen to this. Edward, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I'm going to let you come back on next week, and let's talk some more about this.
We have a lot more to talk about. You can't believe it.
Absolutely. I know we do because I have already spoken with you. I know you got a lot to say, but you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to bring on my good friend Dorothy. Go right ahead.
Call me at 818-613-9206. Make sure your number's open. If I'm on another call, I don't just get off the phone. I'll call you back. Again, that's 818-613-9206. I have videos, I have documents, and I have websites to send you to. You will be educated. By the time I get through with you, you'll know what's going on with your own body and how simple it is to reverse your dysfunctional health. Let's get things done. And help me, and I'll tell you what, if you help me spread the word, will make miracles happen amongst multitudes of individuals. So let's get things done.
Let's do it, my brother. I will talk to you soon. Let's talk.
Thank you
all
so
right,
much,
my brother.
I appreciate you.
God bless you now. All right. Listen, my friend Dorothy, are you there? Dorothy, are you there?
I'm still
Hello,
here.
Dorothy. Dorothy, are you there? All right. We seem to be having a little difficulty bringing Dorothy in.
Let me talk.
Go right ahead. Go,
I got
go
a
ahead.
Lot more to say.
Go, right, go right ahead, Edward. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You know, I was saying that there's only two things we really have control of in this world. And that's what we put in our mouth and what comes out of our mouth, our spoken word that puts out a frequency. Our thoughts and our spoken word put out a frequency that permeate every atom on this planet, every mountain, and comes back to us exactly what we want in this world. And really, that is what the elitists teach the bloodlines from the royal families on down. They have in private libraries that all these secret societies that they don't let you know is it's all about frequency. That's why they manage to keep everybody's frequency low. They want your frequency low. They're putting out the wrong types of music. I'm going to teach you, Reverend Pinckney, about music, and I'm going to teach you about frequency, and you're going to play songs and play music on your station that's going to change people's lives and change their health. You're going to get blown away. I'm going to open you up to whole new areas which you need. You have a large listening audience, and you need to know truth. The more truth I feed you, the better it is, okay? And we can get things done, for sure. So if everybody is wanting to better themselves, which I believe everybody wants to feel good, and the illnesses that people are coming down with and the multiple pharmaceutical prescriptions that they're taking have all side effects. I make everybody look up their prescriptions in the PDR, and when they see the side effects and that's what they're experiencing, what we do is we show them another way to quickly reverse their dysfunctional health, and I'm just having amazing results. And I am loving life. I am doing what I love to do the most, and it's working, and I'm just so excited. It's so
hey,
exciting.
You know, that's really beautiful. Listen, I do have Dorothy now on the line. Dorothy, are you there?
Very good.
I'm here, Reverend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And listen, let's talk you and that, because we definitely got something going on. All right, Dorothy, I'm sorry about that. We had a little technical problem there, but hey, well, we got you now. That's going to cut into your time a little bit, but can you do it in 7 minutes?
Sure, let's see what we can do.
All right, do what you can.
Let me give you some heads up that's coming down the pike, and this is for anybody who's concerned about your children. The DSM-5, that is the Mental Health Manual, is changing its description of pedophilia. Pedophilia is the rape of children. They are now attempting to make it look like it is an alternate lifestyle between adults to children. That includes infants. So the thing anyone who wants to stand up against this, and especially for anyone who has memories of, as a child, being sexually assaulted by an older person, it's time for us to begin talking to our senators and our congressmen, because there were three professors, one from Harvard, one from Columbia, third I don't remember, that they were talking that this is now the new move towards an alternate lifestyle between an adult and a child. Now, to be specific, we're talking anywhere from an infant to a child under the age of 12, 13, 14, but a child. And I will share with you, being a victim of these crimes, that there is no way that I ever wanted anyone to put their hands on me. I absolutely disliked the fact and tried to find help. And because our laws are nothing more than facades, they are and the trauma that is happening to these children was to manipulate them, coerce, and force them, because the way the brain is formed, once a child is severely traumatized, sexualized, that they are now being set up to be manipulated, coerced, and forced. It's virtually pedophilia into sexual slavery. That is what's going on in our country. It has been going on probably since the time this country started, but sadly, it has been picking up momentum in that the Catholic Church is nothing more than a pedophilia to sexual slavery ring. This is not against good Catholics who are not aware of this, but of the criminal element that has in every state moved to dismiss, minimize, or eliminate the laws that hold accountable rapists and pedophiles. And this is a major thing that we all need to speak up and talk about. You may want to look up Dr. Judith Reisman, R-E-I-S-M-A-N, R-E-I-S-M-A-N. She is one of the foremost experts in the field. She's been speaking about this, even to the point of the Kinsey Report. The Kinsey Report was a movie came out of it talking about the human sexuality. The sad thing is the movie dismissed a great deal of the information about what it really was about, is the move of pedophilia. So again, we need to stand up and speak about that to stop these criminals from being able to have access to your children, because I will tell you, that is the future move of what they're doing. Now that they have deemed that the Farm Bill, and the Farm Bill has indicated that all human beings are animals, that means that they are moving to be able to put your children, your grandchildren, or their children in sexual slavery for the benefit and the money-making of the criminals. And given that there's been over 150,000 to 300,000 children that go missing in this country, in that we have sexual slavery of girls, women, children, boys, human beings on the streets at major events such as in both sporting events as well as major conferences, both the Republican and Democratic Party have been noted for the number of human beings that they have had in the behind the scenes for sexual slavery and abuse, also in federal positions. And I'm talking different federal positions, federal jobs that has done this to their own citizens and then destroyed their lives for even daring to A, heal, or even get any type of future jobs. Their lives are destroyed because of what's happened. I want to also refer to a movie, a couple movies that you can go out on internet and look at, YouTube videos. The one is Svali, I'll spell that, S-V-A-L-I, S-V-A-L-I, and this is an Illuminati defector. That's the entire title, Svali, Illuminati defector. She talks about in this movie, in this discussion, how the children of the Illuminati put their people into five different branches. One, two, three, four, five, six, excuse me, six different branches of training. They put them into the sciences, they put them into the military, and she said that 20% of the military are Illuminati, into government, into leadership, into scholarly pursuits, or into spirituality. So, folks, they have infiltrated your churches, synagogues, and any other place. So they have these Illuminati kids that they raise to put into these systems. And then what they also do is they use hypnotic induction, medications. They will also shock their children through reinforcement. They, as she was saying, that they fragment them, as in they kind of use kind of the old Pavlov's dog, where they'll cause trauma and then they'll put an induction where they'll ring a bell to get them to remember what they want them to do. But she was going on to say that they actually have arranged marriages within these systems. They do that based on compatibility and on the bloodlines. They make all their children feel like they're special. Then she went on to talk about how the Illuminati and these systems are into gang stalking, MK Ultra. They infiltrate, they think, for the help of themselves. See, they think that they're doing everything right to help the planet. So they have said, she was saying in this interview, that they actually infiltrate groups as small as 30 where they're trying to redirect their energies and stuff, but that they consider an adult, a child who becomes 12 years old, they considered an adult. Now, you need to go out there and watch, again, and do some checking, figure out what you think of this. I certainly don't want to say whether or not she's legitimate or not, but I found it very interesting. But then I want to also introduce you to another DVD or film out there on YouTube videos. It's called Skull and Bones, The Catholic Connection. Skull and Bones, The Catholic Connection. And they have a former seminarian by the name of William David Cox, who is talking about how, in fact, the world has been overrun by these folks, many of them Freemasons, how they have operated within all parts of our government, clearly with a great deal of deception in plain sight. He speaks about B.I. Hoover was a Freemason, but he goes on to talk about how so many of the people, and they're not just in one religious system, they go across all religious systems, all cultural systems, all economic systems. They're left, right, center, up, down, backwards, and all over the place, and how so many of these people have sold out their own people to virtually abuse and harm the global population. So again, go out and watch that. It's not that long of an interview. There's a great deal of information that you can become very self-aware on. I'm actually at this point watching a movie that I've heard about for many years, and I'll share what it is. It's The Birth of a Nation, okay? Now, I'm going to read a statement, and again, I want you to input in it the term switch white for put every different race of population that we know exists. And it talks about an individual, and it says, this individual, put whoever's name in, these stalkers, abusers, is a traitor to his own race. He's a patron and a greater traitor to his own people, whom he plans to lead by an evil way to build himself a throne of vaulting power. Go out and watch this movie and think about it from a point of view that the left, the right, is working together to brutalize good and decent people, people who would not sell out, people who would not rape, cheat, or abuse somebody else, people who would, even if they've been brutalized, manipulated, who have stood up and spoke against inherent evil, ugliness. It is time for us to put aside our religious beliefs and to come together as good and decent people, because they have destroyed my life from the moment I was born. I was born in one of those illuminated families, and my mother wouldn't raise me in this, so I got brutalized and put through this, and no one deserves to be brutalized. We have a right, as the gentleman said before, for our own destiny, our own self-determination, which I call
right,
our own
listen,
divine right.
Dorothy, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on, and I wish I just had more time, because I really, really enjoy listening to you, because you have set you set the pattern, and you tell us the story, and I appreciate you very much. Listen, you got 90 seconds, then I got to bring on Ross, and I got to bring on Mary. Go right ahead.
Again, I'm also going to suggest that you may want to look up a video called The Hellfire Club, The Hellfire Club. And again, there's another gentleman by the name of Alan Watt, W-A-T-T, Watt, The Neo-Eugenics War on Humanity. Alan Watt, W-A-T-T, The Neo-Eugenics War on Humanity. He tells it like it is. And what it is a more sophisticated form of slavery, is the short version of it. Pay attention, folks. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you so much, Dorothy. I really, really appreciate you. But I got to bring on Roz real fast, and then we got to go into it. Roz, are you there?
I'm here, and I am so blessed. And Reverend Pinckney, you are the most incredible person, so blessed and anointed by the Lord. I say hello to everybody today. I send out blessings and hug and love to everyone. Christopher David was fantastic on Common Core. Now I understand it. I can explain it to other people. Such a nice man. They came to my house for my case with the Los Angeles Unified School District. They looked at all my records. They even came with me to court, which was so beautiful. So I thank him for this. So I hope he comes back on again.
He most certainly will. I'm going to get him on next week so we can talk some more about it.
Okay, that's wonderful. Also, there's an election in the 45th Assembly District here in California, and Susan Shelley, we cannot stand one more raise in our taxes to pay more money here. So, Susan Shelley, you must get up and you must vote. There's so few people that vote, such a small percentage. So all of us, in order to make a change, have to start voting. And I also want to talk about LAUSD, the death trap it is for students and teachers. From the breakfast the kids are getting sick on that they had to have to the iPods that the Dr. Deasy and the Board of Education wanted. Deasy should be fired. The Board of Ed should be recalled with all the other personnel that cannot do the right thing. And these are highly educated people. They can't call the paramedics. They refuse to call the paramedics. A two-year-old, some of them have called the paramedics, and even dogs have called the paramedics for their owners. They can't call hazmat to clean up toxic chemicals. Their half-billion-dollar school was sitting on all that methane gas, which they have pipes now that let it out, but still you still get sick. I don't know where their brains are. And here in my case, they paid Dr. Stahlberg $16,700 for a report he admits is not right. I'm losing my home. They came to take pictures and told me my home's in foreclosure. My health is deteriorating. I am not the only teacher going through this. A judge who couldn't get any of the facts right, the court system, workers' comp, everything is so corrupt. Each one of us must come together in love, in the Lord's love, stand together and want the best for our children, for ourselves, for our communities to even make a change anywhere. And the more people that I talk to across Los Angeles about recalling the board and Deasy, everybody is for it. So if there's other people out there, contact me at RozyWow, R-O-Z-Y-W-O-W at AOL.com, R-O-Z-Y-W-O-W at AOL.com, or my number, 818-631-0513, 818-631-0513, and together we're going to do this. We're all going to get a plan. We're going to take back our cities, our schools, our country. There is more of us than them, and we can do it. I don't care how much money they have. They're all fighting with each other in the back room to destroy our lives. We're leading with the Lord's love, which is victory, which is happy.
Absolutely.
Which is beautiful.
Roger, I want you to know that we are with you 100%, and we got to stop this black and white stuff that they're talking about, Mexican, Latino. We all one people. And we're going to have to learn to fight together against them. And you know I always say this. I've been saying this for years. You've been on the show. It's more of us than them, and we can win. See, that's the difference. We can win. We can change this educational system. We can do everything we want to do if we want to do it. But, Roz, I tell you, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want. Then I got to bring on Mary because we missed her last week. Somehow it was on the board. But I got to – you say whatever you want. Go ahead.
Okay. Mary and Dorothy, two very special ladies. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, everybody calling in. Everybody, you are God's children. I don't care what color you are. We need to be colorblind.
Colorblind.
colorblind. We need to lead in God's love. Put on your good clothes. You are representing the Lord. Put the smile on your face. Put the love in your heart of the Lord. Stop picking on everybody. I don't want to hear one negative word. You go out there and you make a change. All of us together. I have friends, the rainbow of people. So beautiful, so wonderful. I would be so stupid, as I've said on the show, if I would not have them as my friends. I would be the loser, and I don't want to be a loser. I want to be a winner with the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
I want to say that when I started, we had 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. And if this is not a gift from God, because we are respectful to one another, we love one another, we care about each other, we care about the people that are listening to us, you have close to a million people, and you will, and there will be more.
Amen. All right, now, I got to move on. I got to bring on Mary. Mary, you're there. You're going to have to close it out.
Well, thank you, Reverend Pinckney. Hello, world. I just want you to know that I always learn so much from these shows every week. We thank everybody who comes on to the Reverend Pinckney Show. Each one of you bring with you some very valuable information, and I appreciate the opportunity to learn here and to share here. I am director of the Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill organization, and I want to report to you that we have another death. They kill mentally ill people generally at a rate of about one a day. The latest death is a 61-year-old Caucasian lady. She was killed by the sheriff's deputies outside of her San Jose Triplex early this morning. Her name was Andrea Najero. She was a very short lady, about 5'2", very slightly built. She had muscular sclerosis. And evidently, along with her muscular sclerosis, she must have had maybe a mild form of mental illness. So while her husband was at work, working for money to support himself and his wife, and to pay taxes that paid the policeman's salaries, the policemen were at work too. They were at work at his house, killing his wife. They say she had a little knife in her hand. So we want to give condolences to Mr. Najero, who lost his sweet wife. I hear she was a very sweet lady. She gave the children bottles of water for Halloween instead of candy. She told them candy wasn't the best thing for them. So we want to give condolences on that murder, and we want to encourage police officers to please stop drinking the coffee at work. Stop drinking the water at work. We really don't know what's happening to you, but you are becoming monsters. And we want you to stop killing people, especially our elders, our children, and our mentally disturbed people, because you're really working real hard on the ones who are the least among us. And God says that such as you do unto the least among you, my brethren, you've done it also unto me. So I want to just put that out there, and I want to thank you, Reverend Pinckney, for giving me this opportunity to speak. And I want everybody to know that such as you do unto other people, it will be done unto you. I promise you that. You don't get away with mistreating people. And it doesn't matter whether they're black, Caucasian, brown, red, yellow. God loves the diversity. You can't go to any wild garden and see the same type of flower. You see all kinds of different flowers. He is too great. He is too immense. He is too much of a wonderful creator to make everything look the same. So he also made people look the same, only in that we all have the same limbs in the same places, in the same eyes, in the same places, for the most part. But we don't look the same. We don't think alike. We don't even worship him alike. We don't have the same political parties. But we can all agree on human rights. And we should be all able to agree on civil rights, that human rights belong to us all. They're inalienable rights given by God. And it's wrong to murder anyone
and it certainly wrong for police to murder people and cover it up. I want to just encourage you who have covered up murders in your family. If you've had a police murder and it's been covered up, I don't think that it's too late to file suit. Now, this is a wonderful legal victory that was just published a couple of months ago. I hadn't told you about it, but there was a covered-up police murder, and they just sold it for $1.7 million. The family was late filing suit because the murder was covered up, but John Burris, attorney John Burris, and attorney Jim Channon were able to get a $1.7 million settlement for the death of Jerry Amaro, A-M-A-R-O. And you can read about that in my blog called Legal Victories. In Legal Victories, I write about the court coming through on behalf of the people. And it does happen now and then. So if you want to read some good news in justice, go to Legal Victories by Mary Neal, N-E-A-L. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. Thank you, audience. Please remember that Reverend Pinckney is a minister. He's doing this work because he is a man of God, and he is deserving of just fruits. He is deserving of you sending him a donation every week. Now, some of us have not sent any donations ever, but he deserves that. And you know what? When you don't do that, then you are essentially not supporting the gospel, because this is the gospel going forward, and all he's saying to people is to love ye one another as God loves us. So, Reverend Pinckney, if you go ahead and close out by giving your address, I will be very pleased.
Absolutely. Listen, you can send it to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. And my words are boycott, boycott, boycott. We must stand together and win this battle, and this is something we can do. We have a recall in for the mayor of the city of Benton Harbor. Those of you who cannot be here to help us, you can also send a donation. You can send it to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. And I want to thank all my listeners today. You was tremendous today. Our goal is to have 1 million listeners by Christmas Day. Now listen to me. I need you to tell all your friends. We have three quarters of a million as of now. So listen, we are going to do this and make this thing happen. So this is the end of the show. Please be with me next week, same time, same station. Let's listen to a little Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. Wake up, everybody.
Gotta change it, girl. Wake up, everybody!